It's a schuss and an honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And as we all know, this week's Parsha is Parshas Vayetzeh. There's so many things to talk about in this week's Parsha, but we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yisod, that major foundation point that we could bring into our lives in a very practical way. The Torah tells us in Perek Ches, Pasuk Yud, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva Vayelech Harana. Yaakov is running away. His brother Esav wants to kill him. And he's running away. And Rashi brings down Vayetze Yaakov. We know that there's a double usher. That Yaakov left Vayelech Harana. And he also went to Haran. So Rashi says, why do you have to tell me both? To tell me that when a tzaddik leaves a place, he makes an oser roshem, he makes an impression. Shebizman she tzaddik ba'ir, who hold that he's magnificent. Who ziva, he has so much splendor. Who hadara, he has so much grandeur, he's beautiful. Yatsmi shom panahol, then once he leaves, it all goes away. And then vayelech harana, Yaakov Avinu is running away. And we know that Yaakov Avinu, one of the Avos, the pillar of the Torah, and Yaakov, the next Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayifka b'makom. And the Gemara tells us in Brachos, Adav Chav Zayin, and Chav Vav Mebez, it tells us that what is the source for davening? My grandfather, Rabamzer of Shalom, used to always tell me this beautiful idea. He used to say that we know that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Avram was that whole idea of chakras. Yitzchak's whole idea was mincha. And Yaakov's whole idea was Maariv. Obviously, they say the joke. Why Maariv? Because he had 12 kids, so he had to get out of the house. He had enough. I hear it. Listen, a lot of kids, a lot of boys. So, but he said, you know what? It's really a progression. We just think it's three different tefillos, but no, it's a progression. Because stage number one in life, said my grandfather, beautiful vort, stage number one is amido. Sometimes in life, you just got to stand up. Got to get there. And then after a person gets there, he gets to Ein Sicha by Yitzchak, that he has a conversation. You converse with God. And then after you converse with God, you finally get to the next level. The level of Pegiya. The level of meeting with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Feeling one with Hashem. And it's very fascinating. It's very fascinating because the Gemara never links. We know the Gemara says on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara says there's a whole machlokes if Maariv is Rishus or Chova. Is Maariv an obligation, a chova, or the rishus? Tosus points out on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, six tosis, that it doesn't mean that it's a rishus. You don't, you know, some of my bachur may think, oh, davening's a rishus, I don't got to daven, you know what I'm saying? No, it doesn't mean, it means it's a rishus that if you have another mitzvah against it, maybe you should do the other mitzvah first. But it's very fascinating because we know that there's a machlokas, there's a dispute of why we're davening nowadays. Are we davening because of the avos, or are we davening because of the different karbonos? And we know that Maariv, the Maariv karbon, was just the leftovers, the hekter chalavim, was the leftovers. So a person makes a very interesting calculation in his mind. He would say like this, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, their tefillah was all, why are they different? They're all the same, they're avos, they're the great avos. However, if you say karbonos, we know that the Maariv was the thing that was the leftovers. So therefore, you could say that if you say Maariv is a rishus, maybe that's going in the opinion of karbonos. And it's very fascinating because the Gemara, Rashi brings down in Shabbos on the Testament days that he makes that cheshbon, he makes that calculation. That if you say that Maariv is Rishus, then it's only going with the opinion that it's talking about carbonos. A nice lam dishashir. Ah, we have Gemara Brachis. Ah, we feel like lam donim. Gevaldik. However, here's the problem. Comes along the great Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon lived in the year 939 to 1038. The great Rosh Yeshiva Pumptadisa. He was the son of Rav Shriragon. Now, where it is in Pumptadisa, that's where Iraq is. Unbelievable. If you didn't know that, you know it now, hopefully. And he wrote something called the Shiltas of Rav Haigon. He went through the Torah and he figured out all the different mitzvahs, all the different halachas. Beautiful. There's a beautiful sefer written by the great Nitziv. The Nitziv lived in the year 1816 to 1893. Rav Naftali Svi Yehuda Berlin was the great Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin, one of the greatest yeshivas that was around. Volozhin Yeshiva had to be closed down because of the Haskalah. Beautiful. Asked the great Nitziv, if you look at Rav Haigon, Rav Haigon says something amazing. He says, really, Tefillah is keneged the avos. However, Mariv is reshus. So the obvious question that the Nitziv asks is, why is that? Why is the Tefillah of Yaakov a different Tefillah? Why is the Tefillah of Yaakov a reshus Tefillah? What's it all about? Question one. Question two. Vayilan sham ki bo ha-shemesh. We know that the Torah tells us that Yaakov was very tired. You know why Yaakov was very tired, that he had to go to sleep? Because he was steiging the Torah for 14 years. Rashi at the end of Parshas Toldos makes the whole calculation how it has to be that Yaakov was sitting and learning for 14 years straight. Amazing. It's a long time. Right? Rashi brings down in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he says that he was Isaac Betoro because he was Shemesh and Shem Me'aver. He was learning in Yeshiva Shem Me'aver. Three questions. But we're not going to say that these are three separate questions, because then it would be going from two to five. And we don't want to do that or scare anyone. So we're going to obviously call it 2A, 2B, and 2C. But we're going to put it all together so it doesn't scare anyone. But the question's like this. We know the Gemara says in Sukkah, Daf Chof Hey, it's really there. You're probably not going to look, but it's there. The Gemara says that we have a klal called Osek B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah, that when I'm involved in a mitzvah, I'm not allowed to go do another mitzvah. The Ritvan Sukkah says, he goes so far as saying, that it's as if the second mitzvah is not even there. However, the Gemara says in Nedarim, on Daf Tes, that Talmud Torah, there is no pitur for Osek B'mitzvah. For example, if my father comes to me and says, hey son, go to the grocery store and go get me some water or some milk or something good, I can't go and say, dad, I'm going to the Beis Medrash. I got to do the mitzvah of Kibbut Aveim. Why? Because Torah is Lumod Almanas Lasos. I learned in order to do. So there's no Petur of Talmud Torah. Again, if it's able to be done by someone else, it might be a separate discussion. Comes along the great Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and he says, I don't get it. His parents told him to run away, and all of a sudden, he runs to the Beis Medrash for 14 years. Yaakov, go get married, run away. And now you run away? And you learn in Beis Medrash for 14 years? What are you doing? You're not going to do that. You got to listen to your parents. Not only that, what were they learning in Shem Behavior? Right? Last week we spoke about how can Yaakov marry two sisters? This week's Parsha. Oh, so many answers. We get a whole shiur just on that topic. Ah, the Ramban, and the Nefesh HaChaim, and the Vilna Gaon. Oh, so much Torah. The beautiful Parsha. However, we're not going to talk about that. However, what was he learning? They didn't have the Torah yet. The Torah only happened at Har Sinai. What was he learning? What was he learning in Shem Me'aver? And why did he need to do it right now? Why did he need to learn in Shem Eivir? It's very interesting in Parshas Vayeshev. We know that Yosef is referred to as Ben Zikunim. Why is he called Ben Zikunim? One of the explanations Rashi brings down from the Medrash, because Yaakov gave over to him the Torah of Shem Eivir. Why Dafka? Why Dafka did Yosef get the Torah of Shem Eivir? So again, how do we have the Patur? What was going on? We shouldn't have Osek in Mitzvah, Patur in HaMitzvah. And all of a sudden, he's going in Steigen for 14 years. And what was he learning? We'll call that section 2. Then all of a sudden, we know, V'nei Hashem, Nitzav Alav, Ayomer Ani Hashem. And he's on the Sulam. And he sees, V'yachalom, V'hinei Sulam. Pasuk Yidbeis, Mitzav Arzav, Roshem Megi Hashamayma, V'nei Malachi Elokim, Olim V'yordim Bo. The Malachim are going up and going down. The Baal HaTurim says that Sulam is Gematria Kol. We'll have to talk about that. And then he says Sulam without a Vav is Gematria Sinai. What is that all about? What is about? What's going on? The Malachim are going up and going down. And Yaakov Avinu, there's a Sulam. What's this all about? What's this dream all about? And then at the end of the Torah, we know that that Rachel gives over the signs to Leah, the Gemara and Megillah. Amazing. And Leah starts having children. And Leah always thought, the Medrash tells us that Leah always thought that she was supposed to marry Esav. And all of a sudden she starts having children. And she starts naming her children. And she names her first son Reuven. In Perichov Tes, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vatahar Leah of the Tele Ben Batikra Shema Reuven. Why was his name Reuven? Ki Amma Ki Ra Hashem Beinai Ki Atah Yavena Ishi. For now my husband will love me. Because she thought that he's only going to love Rachel, not me. And then she has another son. She has another son, Shimon. And then she has another son, Levi. And all of these names are because she was afraid. She wanted to make sure that her husband be attached to her. And then all of a sudden, her fourth son, Batar Od, Batela Ben, Batomer Apam, Odes Hashem, Chavtes Lamed Hey. And that's why his name is Yehuda, and we're called Yehuda. There's a fascinating Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara tells us in Brachos, on the Zayin Amud Aleph, if you want to learn about anyone who has a Karas HaTov, who do you learn it out from? Yehuda. Learn it out from Apam Odes Hashem. And the obvious question that we all have to ask is, what do you mean? What about Adam? What about Noach? What about Avraham? What about Yitzchak? This is the first time that we have a Karas HaTov. What's this Gemara talking about? So again, we got a lot of questions. We got a Baruch Hashem, so much Torah. Ah, Torah is Geshmak. Let's just review it, because you got to always review Torah. If you don't review Torah, you're not going to remember your Torah. And it's, you never know. You always need to have it in your pocket. If you don't have your Torah in your pocket, you never know when you're going to be called on. Besides that, you got to know your Torah. So question one. Question one was that whole fancy Lamda Shashir, Gemara Shashir, right? If we say like Rav Haigom, that really Tefillah is connected the Avos, then how come Rav Haigom paskins that Marv is Rishus? Wow. Right? You say it very quick. If you say things quick, it means you got it. Question two. We know that Yaakov learned Torah for 14 years straight. That's why he was tired. I mean, you learn 14 years straight, you'd get tired. So, ask Yaakov Kamenetsky. I don't get it. His parents told him to leave, and all of a sudden he gets lost in the base measure, 14 years. That's a long time. We know that there was a Midah Keneged Midah. Yaakov was away from his parents for 22 years, and because of that, he didn't see Yosef for 22 years. Ask Rav Yaakov, it should have been 36. Who told him? Who gave him the right? There's no Patur of Osek for Mitzvah. You can't just be exempt from the Mitzvah. There's no Patur by Kibbut Avayim. And what were they learning? We'll call that 2B. Don't say that's 3. It's 2B. And the third question, it wasn't really a question, it was just a statement, because I didn't want to call it a question. But it was more, what's going on with this Sulam? What's the Sulam going up and down the Malachim? And lastly, why do we find the idea of Hakaras HaTov? Where does Hakaras HaTov, by Yehuda, what about the people from before? What's it all about? Very interesting, I was in Shabbos I was in yeshiva last Shabbos. Nice Shabbos, beautiful. We had a Shana Bet Shabbaton. And fun story, listen, one of those stories, probably the only thing you remember now is the stories. I spoke about this at Shal Shudas' story because it happened on Shabbos. So I was with one of my Talmidim. We took some of my kids to the park, right? Give out a shout out. He actually wants me to say his name. It's Gvaldik Talmud, Shai Rosalinsky, Gvaldik, Baruch Hashem. And, we're there. And there's an amazing zip line in the Mivaseret Park. A zip line. Not a huge zip line. Last year I threw down a big zip line, threw down a nice trip. Everyone likes, they like when I scream. Spoke about how I scream a lot in a good way. And I told my kids I'm going to go on the zip line. They're like, Daddy, you're not going on the zip line. That's crazy. You're going to make a lot of noise. There's other people in the park. That's crazy. You're older. You can't do that. And so Shai saw what was going on. He's like, Rebbe, you gotta go on the zip line. And the kids are like, you're not going on the zip line. I'm like, I'm going on the zip line. So then Shai said, listen, if you go on the zip line, I'm gonna come to Shacharis 5 minutes early every day for the next month. And I turn to my kids and I'm like, listen, come on. Gotta zip line. Come to Shacharis early. My kids were masking, but they said I wasn't allowed to make noise. And I went, didn't make noise. I actually almost fell off. We won't talk about that part. And I didn't make noise. And now Shai is on a good roll. Steigen the davening. And why am I telling a story? Really, there's no Shai next to anything. But I'm telling a story because I'm talking about davening. And this week, I was talking a lot with my shir about davening. And what davening means, and what Avodas Hashem means, and we're going to try to answer up all these questions. Comes along the Netziv, and the Netziv says that the tefillah of Yaakov was a different tefillah. Was a different tefillah than the other Avos. Yaakov was faced with a challenge. His brother wanted to kill him. He just took the brachas from Esav. And now he was running away. And he was stuck. He was so nervous. And it was more, it says that it was more like a spontaneous tefillah. He realized he was be'et sara. And he realized that things are going to be difficult. Life might be hard. But he said, even though life's going to be hard, I'm still going to hold on. And realize that the Rebbeinu Shalom is with me. Hashem is with me. And he said, I just need to daven. I need to daven to Hashem. Because Hashem is part of my life. Tefillah represents the idea that Hashem is in my life. And although sometimes situations are difficult and situations are hard. And Yaakov Avinu had such a hard life. He has to deal with the loved ones, the trickster, and he has to deal with the Esavs. And now he comes with Yosef, he loses his beloved son Yosef. Can't even imagine the trials and tribulations that he's going through, the hardships. But he holds down and he says, I need to reach out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all about reaching out, realizing that I need to talk to him. Be'et Sarah was more of a spontaneous, it was Rishus. It wasn't a fixed tefillah. It was a tefillah that I just need to reach out to him. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Do you know why Yaakov had to learn for 14 years? Because those 14 years were a preparation for what he's about to face. Had to deal with the loved ones. Had to deal. Had to fight against it. Had to fight against society that doesn't believe in what he believes in. Had to not be caught up. That's what it's all about. Says Rav Yaakov, why specifically shame the Aver? Because shame lived in the time of the Dor HaMabul, when the whole world said, Noach, you're crazy. And still shame went into the Teva and he insulated himself. And he said, I'm not going to be affected. And Aver lived in the Dor HaFlaga. He lived in a time where they went against Hashem. They tried to build towers to go against Hashem. The Dor HaMabul and Dor HaFlaga. The whole yeshiva, Shema Iver, is the idea of the protection against the outside world. And Yaakov is about to deal with the Lavans. He's about to deal with the Esavs. And he's saying, in order for me to protect myself, I need to realize that Hashem is part of my life. I need to realize that davening is part of my life. And it's an avoda. It's not easy. If anyone says it's easy, they're lying. It's not easy. It's difficult sometimes. But Yaakov represents this idea. And so it's not a sefer mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. It's an extension in order for him to fight against the world, in order for him to be successful in Avodas Hashem, he needs to go against the Lavans. Rav Sandler from Shar Yashiv spoke in Yeshiva this week, and he said an awesome story. He was talking about this idea, how a person has to push, has to build self-motivation, realizing that Hashem's in his life. And sometimes it's hard, but the more a person pushes, even when you want to build muscle, even when you want to push, that's the time when it hurts the most. You just got to push. I was thinking of my story, actually, when I was in the gym back in the day, in my high school days. And I was working out those muscles. He didn't tell the story. He doesn't know my gym story. I'll tell the story he said. Time's clicking, I know. But I was working out, doing my arm thing. I don't know what it's called anymore. Triceps. And a big Russian guy came in to the gym. And he's looking at me and he's like, "What are you doing?" I don't know if he talks like that. It's not really Russian. But that's what he said. "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm doing my triceps." He's like, "No, you're not. You're just throwing your arm up and down." And I'm like, "What do you mean? I've been doing this past 3 years." And he's like, "Well, that's why he looked the way he looked. That's why I look the way I look." So he's like, "No, you have to." And he showed me. Remember, he showed my arm. And it went back. And like at the fourth time, I'm like started to scream. And I'm like, "Stop it!" And he said, "Now I see it worked. Do you feel it?" And I said, "Yeah, but it hurts." He's like, "Yeah, if it hurts, then it's working." I'm like, "Whoa, that's big muss. It's big musser. That'll be good shear." I didn't know, I was in high school. But that's not the story he told. The story that he told was a great story. Maybe better than this story. We don't have to compare and contrast. But a great story. He said that there was a 90-year-old guy that mama, she would come to shul and he'd learn in Kyle. And he came into the base medrash, and a Talmud, someone saw him, 90-year-old man. And so and so on, and he looked very down, he looked very depressed. And they said, "Is everything okay? Are you okay? You're always so happy. Is everything okay?" He said, "Yeah, everything's okay." He's like, "No, really, is everything okay?" He's like, "No, it's not so okay." He's like, "Why? What's going on?" He's like, so they started schmoozing a little. And he said, every day I wake up, I do Netilas Yadayim. I do everything perfect. I'm like a brisker. I do everything perfect. I come to shul, daven, take my learning. And every single time I do something right, it's like I put something into the basket. And every day I do this, for the past 70 years, I've been doing this." So the guy's like, "Wow, it's unbelievable. Every day I do Netilas Yadayim. I say brachos. I say everything. And as I'm putting more things into my basket, more things into my basket." And if you do the calculation, I didn't do the calculation, 365 times 70, which is a big number. Look at all these bags that I'm going to bring up to Shemayim. The guy's like, "This is amazing. Why are you upset? 70 years of just Avodas Hashem. The continuity of the learning hours and hours and davening and doing everything you're supposed to do as a frum person." So he's like, "Why are you upset?" So he says, "You know why I'm upset? Because although I might go up to Shemayim with all these bags, and I have a lot of bags, why didn't these bags, I could have internalized these bags. They didn't just need to be bags. It could have been me." He said a big idea here, because a lot of times we go with our emotions, we go with our davening, we go with our learning, and we go, and sometimes we're just on autopilot, and we're doing it, but all of these things are to change ourselves for Avodas Hashem. We're all here to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, to serve Him. It's not just about the things. It's not just about the... But it's about how can I change myself to become a greater Oved Hashem. And that's what Yaakov is about. Yaakov is a person that although I have all struggles and I have things that I have to deal with, I'm always going to be constantly working. As the Baal Turim says, the Sulam. What's a Sulam? Because it's up and down. Right? You know, as everyone knows, escalators, I like it. I said the joke before. I say my jokes all the time, over and over again. Free escalator, up and down. I actually do go on escalators with my kids. I don't make noises. I don't want to embarrass them. But Sulam. Sulam is kol, because we could have the kol to Hashem, the tefillah. Sulam, that of Sinai, is the Torah. Not just learning the Torah, not just davening, but living the Torah, living the tefillah. That's what it's all about. That's what Yaakov represents. Yaakov represents that I'm preparing myself. The only way I'm going to be successful in this world if I'm prepared how to be an Eved Hashem. And that's dafka why Yaakov taught Yosef. He knew that Yosef was going to go into the Golus. And the only way to pass this Golus is to develop ourselves, is to build ourselves. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat that Leah, that the Hakaras HaTov, the Hakaras HaTov comes from Yehuda? What's that all about? What about everyone else? What about all the other people before Yehuda? So I heard a beautiful idea, I think B'Shem Rav Asher Weiss, that there was a switch. Leah always felt that she was going to marry Esav, and she was a very depressed person. And for her first three children were the names of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, saying that I thought Yaakov was just going to marry, that he was only going to love my other sister, and he doesn't really love me. She started doing the math, and she realized that if you have four, Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah, everyone's supposed to have three kids. That divide, right? 12 divided by 4 is 3. And when she hit the fourth child, she started, wow. Everything flipped. She flipped everything on her head. And she said, wow, look how much of the Hakaras HaTov I have. She was able to look at the whole situation different. She was able to realize that Hashem, look what Hashem has given me. The same situation. The first three children, and now she has her fourth child. And she's like, wow, look at these gifts. And I told my guys this week, and it's hard. Because anything meaningful in life is hard sometimes. Is that it's hard to wake up and say Modani with Kavana. Who wakes up? Modani Lifan. Who does that? Right? Alavai, we should do that. But who wakes up? Is the first thing we grab is our cell phones to see who texts us? Or is the first thing we say is Modani Hashem, I admit to you that I'm nothing, I'm up. I'm up to serve you. I'm here to serve you. That's what I'm here for. My Da'ani, today's going to be another great day, and not just a day, it's going to be another good day of Avodas Hashem. Yeah, sometimes things don't always work out the way we want them to, because again, we think we're Hashem, fortunately. But no, Hashem, look at all the gifts He's given us. Leah with Yehuda shows Hakaras HaTov, because Hakaras HaTov represents the idea that I realize that Ribbono Shel Olam is in my life and He's given me so much. That's why Dafka Yehuda. And we all have the ability to look at our brachas. Yeah, there's some things that we wish weren't there. But still, a person needs to look positive at what Hashem has given us and what He continues to give us. The ability to be from, to have families, to have health, all these things that we take for granted. Look what Hashem has given us. Hapam Oides Hashem. And just to conclude with this story, and I told this story before, and it's a very powerful story, because the mind is a very powerful thing. And sometimes we have to train our minds for good. After the Holocaust, a guy went off the derech, couldn't believe it. How can Hashem do this to him? And we don't understand. We don't understand what 80 years ago, what they went through. It's crazy. We just have numbers in our head. And like the trauma and the life that they lived, people in the Holocaust, it's crazy. And a person went to a Rebbe, and he went to the Rebbe, and he said, I'm not Jewish anymore, and I'll tell you why I'm not Jewish. I'm Jewish, but I'm not Frum anymore. I'll tell you why I'm not Frum. So the Rebbe said, why? He said, because there was one guy in the barracks that had tefillin. And there were so many Jews that wanted that tefillin. And they would give up all their food that they had. He said, I couldn't believe that a Jew would do that to another Jew. We were on our deathbeds and take food just to put on tefillin. Who does that? And the Rebbe said, you're right. You're right. But maybe you could flip the situation. Maybe you could look at it a little differently. Look at the Jews that were Moser Nefesh for the tefillin. Look. We need to look at our lives in a positive way. We need to learn from a Yaakov that although we paskin that tefillah's avos, the tefillah of a Yaakov was a different tefillah. The preparation of learning for 14 years to prepare himself was a different type of learning. It was a learning from Hashem Ve'ever. The idea of the sulam going up and down, that represents, as the Balaturim says, is either Kol or Sinai. And this idea of Akaras HaTov from Yehuda, because Leah finally, she switched. She made a switch in her mind, realizing, don't look at the bad. But look at the positive, what Hashem has given me. And then Leah had another two children. She had six of the Shvatim. Where are Yehudi? This is what we're all about. Moda'ani lefanecha. When we wake up, everyone, we can all work on our different things and our tefillah, focusing a little more. Moda'ani, we can wake up though in the morning. Moda'ani lefanecha. Say, Hashem, wow. Moida'ani, I admit to, wow, look what you've given me, everything. Be'ezus Hashem, let's learn from Parshas Vayetze, let's learn from Yaakov, that although running away from Esav, still, Vayetze Yaakov, he was in tranquility, he was okay, calmness, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in my life, and he's going to make everything work out. Be'ezus Hashem. Let us get closer and closer to Hashem. Let us work on our tefillah. Let us work on our davening. And let us keep on building ourselves that we become true Ovdei Hashem.